Hallelujah, that'll be good. All right, Brother Philip, he's got another agenda this morning in mind. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 1. We are going to talk about the parable of the unfair employer. Now, because I say unfair, doesn't mean he's not righteous. He's not good. He's not doing the right thing. Because he is. I remember when I was in Little League, when I first started in the Pee Wee part of Little League, the first place team always got a prize. They got the big trophies. If you were first place team, you got your trophies. On the last day, you showed up in your uniforms and you stood there in your places where you were with your team. And then the first place team would go up and get their trophies. I remember I played for a team called the Dodgers, except we wore red, which was like the Angels' colors. But we went up and got our first place trophies. And then we got taken in vans, a couple vans, to Angel Stadium, which was Gene Autry was still alive back then, and they were called the California Angels. And we went, and little did I know that I was watching a legend in the making who is still to this day my favorite baseball player ever, Nolan Ryan. He was pitching for the Angels that night. And I could hear the pop come from the catcher's glove like a little firecracker going off all night. And you talk about the sound of that. The ball would already be on its way back to Nolan Ryan when you heard the pop travel through the air. He was so fast. And he lived in his career such a great time. He was a good man, a man who knows Christ as a Savior, a man who lived by biblical values. Not a perfect man. There's sometimes he hit some batters on purpose. And one of them, named Robin Ventura, even went to the mound with his baseball bat when he got hit by Nolan Ryan. And Nolan Ryan put him in a headlock. And that young fella in the hands of that old man, Nolan Ryan, he cleaned Robin Ventura's clock. Do you remember that, Philip? But anyways, maybe you don't follow baseball. I don't really follow it at all like I used to since the last few years. Them being all politically correct, which means morally bankrupt and wicked. I don't follow that as much. I really don't care about baseball anymore at all. But Nolan Ryan made his impression on me all my life. You know, it was Nolan Ryan that when Magic Johnson came out as being infected with the AIDS virus, and was bragging to Mike Wallace that, yeah, he had been with several women at a time most of the nights of his career, Nolan Ryan put his foot down and said, that is the most vile thing a person could do. He should immediately apologize. He said, just think, if we had a female athlete come out and say, I've contracted the AIDS virus, and then she said, I slept with several men every night of my career, we would call her a different name than a hero. She would be castigated. She would be put down. She would be vilified. I said, but you guys in the press, you're raising up Magic Johnson as though he's some kind of hero. He said, it's contemptible the way he got AIDS. But what he did was vile and wicked. And I think he said, I also feel very sorry for his wife having to go through this. So I'm going to talk about four things about an unfair judge here. And we're going to look at this in a way that might refresh you in the doctrines of grace, might help you to realize that God is Lord of your life no matter what happens, whether you consider things fair or not fair. Was it fair for me that I was taken from my home as a little boy because my dad broke the jaw of a man in our apartment building in Inglewood, California, because he had been fooling around with my mom? broke his jaw, was hauled off to jail, and I was taken away from my home. And then later, my dad died when I was just barely 5 years old. He died of a stroke then, and I grew up poor. My mom working two jobs in Rubidoux, California, where I grew up on the streets, cockroaches even getting in the cereal boxes of where I lived. My brother beating me almost every day, drawing blood at least twice or three times a week. Was it right for me to be constantly in fights at school? Was that fair? That I grew up having nothing? That I grew up basically from the time I was 5 years old till I was past my junior high age into high school, with just having two pair of pants to wear every year? And in my junior high years, it was really embarrassing because one pair was burgundy and the other pair was purple. They were called dungaroos or something like that. And they were very strong. But I wanted just to have a pair of blue jeans. I wanted to have a pair of blue jeans like everybody else. Was it fair that I got jumped at school by people? Was it fair I got shot at three times growing up? Is it fair that I went through all these things? Well, let me ask you a question. Let's quote Linda Anderson from her kid's song, I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden. Along with the sunshine, there's got to be a little rain sometimes. And the thing is, God never promised you fairness. God never promised you equality. And yet that's what everybody wants. The whole queer movement used the equal sign for their logo for queer marriage. And though even most Californians were against it, Obama shoved it down our throats anyway. They used the Supreme Court, and they made it a law against the people. It's not equal. It's not fair. It doesn't produce life. If you just filled the Hawaiian Islands up with queers and lesbos, you'd be out of queers and lesbos in about 40 years. The population would die. It doesn't give life. And when people say, well, we really don't know the facts on how two gay men can raise children. Well, let me remind you, that's where most of this stuff is coming out in the schools now. The books that are written, the children that are becoming trans, it's all from this movement. People say, you're political. No, it is a moral law against the law of Christ, against the preaching of Paul, against the scripture. We read it over and over again. This is the sin that brought hell out of heaven. This is the sin that God rained hell upon on Sodom and Gomorrah and the other three cities, that made that part of the world the lowest elevation on earth. We now call it the Dead Sea. You know, if John the Baptist were here preaching today, he wouldn't be calm, or what would it be? Not calm, but as laid back as I am about it. Oh, he'd be screaming. He'd be on the news all the time. The people in America that were not born again, blood-washed, Bible-believing Christians would hate that man, and they would demand his death. They would hate him more than any president we've ever had, any leader we've ever had. They would hate John the Baptist. If he were in America today, like he was in his day when he was preaching, when Philip came by, the king, John the Baptist pointed into his face, no, Herod, and he pointed into Herod's face and said, it's not lawful for you to have your brother Philip's wife. And they threw him in prison. You know, there have been preachers here in America that have been willing to be thrown in prison for these things. You know, they told us what was going to be on that manifesto, the girl who was pretending to be a guy going into the Christian school and killing those six people. You know why they haven't revealed the manifesto, right? She was declaring war on all Christians because all Christians were the reasons the trans can't have all their freedoms and all this other stuff. Listen, they have equality. They have fairness, as it were, in the courts. In fact, they have extra rights that we don't have. For instance, if one of them makes a pass at me and does something naughty to me, trying to flirt with me and I hit him, that's a hate crime. But if they hit me, that's not a hate crime. They have extra rights. That's just one area. And so we're going to talk about four things about an unfair God. Let me go back to my baseball story. The years went by. I'm in senior league baseball. I'm playing for a team called the Cubs. We come in first place. We show up for the big trophy day. Everybody has the same size trophies. Second place team, third place team, fourth place team, last place team, all have the same size trophies. Now, you got to remember, I'm old school. I was raised in those days. I just turned 62 yesterday. What we did was we looked at those things and said, what is that? Where's our trophy, first place trophy? And they said, somebody said, they want to make it look fair. Everybody played. Everybody deserves a trophy. I said, they can have that trophy. Several of my teammates said the same thing. And we didn't even stay till the end of the ceremony. I know it looked bad to everybody, but the first place Cubs walked off the ceremony. And we didn't go get only one or two guys went and got their little trophy. We didn't even bother go to the table to pick up our trophy. Doesn't mean anything. Why are they keeping score? Why were we working so hard? Why were we practicing so hard? Why were we running so hard and doing push-ups so hard and everything? If we won first place, that's an honor in and of itself. But not to be treated like you guys didn't try to succeed. You didn't try to excel. We're going to make everything fair. You know, in T-ball games, when Nathan first played, they kept a score. And then the next year after that, they quit keeping score at T-ball games. Well, you shouldn't have to do that. These are just little guys. Make up whatever excuse you want. But the thing is that as Americans, we're having fairness shoved down our throats all the time when life's not fair. My daddy died when I was young. I had to go to school in stupid-looking clothes and wear the same two pair of pants, the same pair of tennis shoes all year long. And when summertime come, I was barefoot all the time. Even when it was over 100 degree weather, I was walking barefoot on the street. Calluses on our feet. You remember that, guys? Some of you remember that. And when we played ball, when we did other things, there was a competition. There was a trying your best. It was you want to be a good sport. If you lose the game, you want to be a good sport. But at the same time, you want to get those guys the next time. And show them what you're made of. Show them they had a tiger by the tail, that you were a competitor, that you cared about victory, that you cared about winning. You say, Brother Ross, I don't like all the things you're saying. Yeah, those are just temporal things. But doesn't the Bible say, strive to enter into the straight gate? Doesn't the Bible say, Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I'm striving. I run in a race, not as one who's running for nothing. I'm running to win the prize. You see, he likens the battle to defeating the enemy. You know, it's over and over again in Scripture, and I've got sidetracked myself so much that I've moved away from these verses, and I want to come back to these verses to show that fairness doesn't matter to God. Equal is, you say, well, it's in our Constitution, that all men are created equal. We are. We've been given the same rights, the same right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But it doesn't say the same right to talent, the same right to ability, the same right to good looks and a great figure. And it doesn't say that you'll all have the same amount of money. That's what communism is. It's willing to make everybody equally poor. You know, there have been people that I've met in my life in Christianity that say, I hate that girl. Why do you hate that girl? She can sing so well. Or she looks so pretty. Or she teaches her own Sunday school class. Listen, God doesn't call us all to be talented or educated or... or beautiful in a certain way. We have all have different colored eyes and different color hair. Some of us don't have any hair. Some of us bald guys use the excuse that God only made a few perfect heads and the rest he had to stick hair all over them. But no, life isn't fair. It wasn't fair for me to get beaten up all the time. It wasn't fair for me to get shot at. It wasn't fair for me to get jumped over and over again. While other kids in all these other areas had life so easy compared to me. I used to have to go collect pop bottles. Remember those things? In the fields around my house to go to the store and buy myself something to eat. Because when my daddy died, my mom worked two jobs. And back then, they had something to complain about because women weren't making as much as men for the same kind of job. They would work harder for less. I remember having to eat government cheese and government peanut butter and government honey. Remember those, dehydrated potatoes you could make mashed potatoes out of? And the dehydrated milk and stuff. I remember that, and that cheese was pretty good. That peanut butter was grade AAA or whatever, you know. It was good stuff. And to this day, you're not going to like when I say that. You're going to say, he's crazy. I like instant mashed potatoes better than the other mashed potatoes that you have to cut up and boil and everything. I like the flavor of them better, and I can tell you the difference. Connie's known that. I told her all these. Well, just get some other ones. But she would go through all that hard work for other things. And so life isn't fair. But is God wrong? Or is he right? Is God perfect in all his ways? Does he show favor to some? Well, let's look and see here. Jesus talked about it for us here. And so, an unfair God faithfully seeks to save sinners. Look at chapter 20, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And he kept going out and kept going out. An unfair God faithfully seeks to save sinners. Who went in search of whom? Well, I sought him and he sought me back. No, you didn't seek him. He went after you. Did the workers go out to this man's vineyards or his orchards asking for work? No. The owner went in search of the workers. It's like people say, well, I hate working at Walmart. I'm sorry, but Walmart didn't come knocking on your door asking you to work for them. You went to Walmart's door asking to work for them. Now, I don't believe everything about Walmart. It changed a lot since Sam Walton was alive. I remember when almost everything in that store used to be American made. Made in the USA. Now you'll have to look long and hard to find anything made in the USA. And so, the owner went in search of the workers. And let me remind you, you didn't find Jesus. He came after you. He found you. You did not seek him out or search to find God. You were born a sinner. You're sinner by birth and sinner by choice. You're running away from God. Your sin was at enmity against God. You didn't want to have to bow your knees and say, I'm a no good, worthless, hell-deserving sinner. But he brought you to that place. He moved heaven and earth to reach you. He gave his body and his blood to reach you. He poured out himself unto death, even the death as the sufferings of hell for you. It is God who initiated your salvation, God who accomplished your salvation. It is God who completes our salvation, and it is God who keeps us saved until the day he returns for us and calls us home to himself forever and ever. You have nothing to do with it. You didn't go looking for this. He came looking for you. And did he choose everybody? Well, it's only fair for people that complain about the doctrines of grace. Well, it's not fair that he doesn't choose everybody. Well, it's not fair that he doesn't go. One of the verses in this passage is, for many are called, few are chosen. Well, that's not fair. Who cares about fair? If we got what's fair, God would let all of us go to hell. The wonder of it all is not that he saves some. The wonder of it all is that he saves any of us. We all deserve to die and go to hell. So if you want what's fair, go to hell. That's what you deserve. If you want what's right, God made right out of giving his son for us to redeem us from our sins, to pay the price of our sins, not to let you go free, but to save you for his glory forever and ever. Aren't you glad he did? It is God who keeps us until he calls us home. You say, what is the Bible? Well, there's a little anonym kind of thing goes with it. Believer's instructions before leaving earth. Believer's instructions before leaving earth. The Bible is a written record of God reaching out to touch and redeem mankind to himself. Not everyone. When God chose Israel, that meant 90% of the rest of the nations were out of his plan. In other words, nobody was sharing the gospel in China. Not even in what we call the Holy Land. The Philistines weren't chosen. The Amalekites weren't chosen. The Egyptians weren't chosen. In all the history of the Old Covenant, the high priest only made atonement for those in covenant with God, to those who were his children. He didn't pray for everybody else. And by the way, Jesus didn't either. Jesus said, I pray for those who you have given me out of the world. They are mine. I'm yours. They're yours. You gave them to me. But you say, well, Brother Ross, that's not fair. Fairness is not part of the scripture's dealings with us. And it's not God's dealings with us. And so let us move on here. But that's the teaching of the day. We want special rights. We want equal rights. We want fairness. Give us what's fair. Okay, go to hell. That's what's fair. You've sinned against God. You care more about yourself. All this stuff is about selfishness, and you get what you want, and you want more and more. It's like the gay said, let us get married and we'll be happy. Are they happy? No, they want more. They want to lower the age of consent. 20 years ago when I told people that the Democrat Party were going to marry queers, they said, no, there's no way. This is America. 15 years ago when I started saying the Democrat Party is going to try to legalize pedophilia, they've already started that legislation in the San Francisco Circuit Court, different courts. And when I said they're going to let mothers marry sons and dads marry their boys, they're going to let that stuff go on. It's already been happening. They've even let a man marry his dog, a woman marry her cat. This has been going on. A woman in Seattle wanted to marry a building that she didn't want to get torn down, so she said she married it. They couldn't tear it down. There's craziness around us. And it's all in the name of fairness. What is the Bible? It is God's record, written record of him reaching out to redeem certain chosen ones to himself. It is not the record of man trying to find God. It was God, we see, who sought out Abraham to make him the father of a chosen people. God chose Israel to make them a chosen people. The world did not seek a Messiah, but God sent his son. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But remember, it was Jesus who also said, no one can come to me. No one can come to me except my Father who has sent me drags him to me. Now the word is draw, but the meaning is drags him to me. It's the same word that's used when Peter drew the net to the shore. He dragged the net to the shore. So Jesus said in John chapter 6 that no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Was that unfair of God? No, it was the mercy of God. Because what did the whole human race deserve? We all deserved hell. And remember that when the angels who sinned, the angels who rebelled against God, were they offered a place of repentance? Were they offered any forgiveness? Did Jesus die for any of the fallen angels? No. But God, in his mercy and in his righteousness, sought us out. We did not seek him. He sought us. And we cannot come to him unless we, the Father who sent him, draws us. God is not fair because he faithfully sought to save you, even when you did not care about him. We should be glad that we serve a God who cares about what's right and what's good instead of what's fair. A lot of people have looked at this thing, this parable that Jesus told about paying the people who came only for an hour to work. He paid them the same as he paid the people who'd worked all day. So that's not fair. No, but it's right. The parable begins with the employer agreeing with them for a denarii a day. And so, do you agree with Christ that it's not how wonderful you are, how precious you are, how loving, how talented, how good-looking, how rich, how educated you are? It's his choice of you. Not many wealthy, not many wise are called, Paul said. And the Bible says that God has chosen, for the most part, the poor to be rich in faith. Like President Lincoln used to say, God must love poor people because he made so many of them. We have to close in just a minute. An unfair God deals with us personally and individually. It's not like a democracy. Democracy means majority. And whatever the majority wants, the majority gets. That's not always good. The majority didn't agree with a lot of things that Jesus said. The majority of his disciples walked away in John chapter 6, and there was only 12 left behind. It's not always right. It's not always good. An unfair God deals with us personally and individually. The landowner went out time and time again to find workers. Some were ready at 6 a.m. Some of them weren't ready till noon or 3 or even 5. Yet when they were ready, they were hired. I wish that God had saved me every day, including today. But yesterday I was thinking too, I wish the Lord had saved me when I was a little boy. I wish that I had had his love. Although I talked to him once I found out about him, my Uncle Johnny told me about God. And I prayed for things. And even though I was lost, God gave me some of the things I prayed for. And I've always had a sense of his presence. And when I got saved, to that day to this, I know he sees my every thought, even before I think it. Today, he's just the ever-present one, always. The reality of God fills my life constantly now. But when I was a boy, it was just, I did have a love for him. I just didn't know that he was my Lord and Savior. I knew that he was my best friend, but I didn't know him as my one and only Lord and Savior. You see, when I grew up, the way I grew up, I was pretty much alone, thrown out to the wolves. Like I said, I had to find pop bottles, and back then they didn't have the open top cans. You'd have to have a can opener like this to open those cans. And nobody really accepted those for money, but they took the pop bottles back. How many times did I live on a sugar daddy for a day? Or another good hard candy that would last a long time was the Jolly Ranchers. And then the Big Hunks, those would last a long time. But you remember the sugar daddies, don't you? You could have that in your mouth all day and still have a little bit left on a stick in the evening. Aren't you glad you serve a Lord God who is faithful, who is righteous, who is loving, compassionate, instead of one who just deals with everybody all the same? How about you? How about if you worked hard and you went to the Olympics as a swimmer, as a gymnast, as an athlete who had trained all your life, and then it comes down to the reward ceremony, and everybody in the whole auditorium, everybody gets the same thing. No, you tried to be the best. You had an ambition. You had a desire. And many times you had a passion that came from God Almighty Himself. And yet you got treated like everybody else. No, that would be fair. But it wouldn't be right. This tells us that our loving, unfair God deals with each of us individually. He made each one of us. He knows each one of us intimately. He formed you in the womb of your mother. Better than we know ourselves, He knows us. He understands our thoughts afar off. God seeks different people at different times. God uses different circumstances and ways. I got saved when I was 19 years old and I had made a mess. I went to school fighting. I'm serious. You can look at me and doubt me, but I would go up to kids. I would go up to black kids. I didn't care what color you were. And I would say to you, I bet I can make you cry. Oh, yeah, you can't make me cry. Then I'm boom, right in the stomach. I had more kids coming after me to try to make up for things I did to them. I didn't know I was bad, but I was bad. I didn't know I was a wicked little poisonous snake in the grass, but I was a wicked, no good, dirty, rotten sinner. My brother would beat me. His friends would beg him to stop beating me. They'd be crying. He'd say, go to the store and get me a pop or get me a Hershey's or whatever, and I'll quit beating him. And they would run as fast as they could down the corner liquor store, Circle K up the street, to get something for him to stop beating me. My brother would get 5-6 feet away from me with a baseball and throw it as hard as he could to me against about a wall and have the ball bounce back to him. That wasn't fair compared to how the other kids grew up, was it? But you know what? When other guys were dropping out of college, when other guys were dropping out of boot camp, I still had it. I stuck in there. I hung in there. I'm telling you the truth. You can look it up whenever you want to. Bravo Company, 1979. Yeah, late 1979, towards the tail end of the Carter administration. Went into the Coast Guard. Started off 82 guys. You know how many finished with me a month later? Was it 2 months later, boot camp? 36. They did a 21 cannon salute for the company I was in. They tore us up. I talked to Marines. If I could find one right now, say, did you go through this? Did you go through that? In boot camp, did you go through this? No, man. No, no. Man, they tore you up. Yeah, they did. 2 o'clock in the winter weather outside of Oakland, California, on an island. 2 o'clock in the morning in your BVDs in the cold pouring rain in February, having to run, do push-ups. None of the other companies did. Mine did. Well, let's move on. We're going to have to close right now. Just let me say this. Why do you love God? Why do you love God? Somebody's going to ask you that. The answer is right there in the Bible. Because He first loved me. He loved you when you didn't love Him. And the reason you do love Him is because He first loved you. Who loved you first? It was God. He initiated that love. He set His eye upon you. You wouldn't love Him first. You couldn't love Him first. You were a sinner by birth and a sinner by choice. By yourself, your thoughts would not even turn toward God. Maybe your imagination about God. You know, a lot of people say they love God and they don't even know who He is. They've never read His Word, have never met Him and his salvation in their heart. You couldn't love God first. In John 6:44, again, no one can come to me unless my Father who sent me draws him. And then, how many of you ever bought something that's one size fits all? I have, but it didn't fit me. We got a baseball hat one time. One size fits all. It hurt me and gave me headaches. It didn't fit at all. A fair God would treat us all the same. Aren't you glad he doesn't? Aren't you glad there's a hell for people like Hitler and Stalin? And if he doesn't repent before he dies, Biden and his crime family that have sold out America and the other presidents as well. An unfair God deals with us individually and differently. Aren't you glad that God is a right God, that he's a good God, that he's righteous? Instead of treating us like anybody else, he sets his love upon us in a special way. He distinguishes us in a special way. And here's some Calvinism for you as I close this thought. Some good old-fashioned Bible doctrine. You say, Jesus died for everybody. I'll say, Jesus' blood is sufficient to save everybody. But if Jesus died for everybody, everybody's going to heaven. Because he bore their punishment. And God would be unjust to punish any sinner who's already had the price paid for their crime. No. You say, well, it's because they won't believe. Well, isn't unbelief a sin? If Jesus died for everyone's sins, everybody goes to heaven. Hitler goes to heaven. You start naming them off. These killers, these rapists, these pedophiles who murder little children. We all go to heaven if Jesus died for us. All. No. And Jesus is death. Like the beginning of the New Testament, you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You say, well, that's not fair. It's right. What's not fair is that God saves any of us. What's not fair is that God sets his love upon us from before the creation of the universe. For his glory, for his purpose, for his name's sake. Father, we pray that you bless our time together around your word as we partake of your supper. May it bless us and help us in our thoughts, in our hearts, as we look beyond the bread and the cup, to see Jesus who gave himself broken for us, poured out for us, to redeem us from our sins, in whose name we ask your blessing now. Amen. Amen.